Welcome to the BMX News Announcers Tower podcast. I'm Mike Carruth. While much of the world is shut down from the coronavirus scare, the lights are still burning bright in the workshop of George Costa and Renan Design Group. George joins us today to prove that the gears of progress never stop turning in the great Northeast. So, George, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Yeah. So, you know, like we said in the intro, you know, things are kind of weird right now, shut down in most cases. But I'm sure you're practicing the proper social distancing up there. I think it's probably like that all the time, right?
Yeah. It's kind of funny with all of the way that all of this has gone down in my lead up to, you know, being able to work from home and everything. You know, I started this journey like over 5 years ago, trying to get a shop built at my house, and finally did last year. So when they demand that you don't leave your house, it's fine because I can still go to work, luckily.
Yeah.
So so long as they don't shut down like tractor trailer trucks for material deliveries, we're going to keep on going. And, you know, even with and we have very few people that work here at the shop also, and it's basically their discretion whether they want to come in or not. But we're always like a minimum of like 15 feet away from each other inside the shop because all of our different roles are in different places in the shop. So yeah, we're just trying to be smart about it. But at the same time, you know, we're trying to make a living, and, you know, people that work for me are trying to make a living. And I really feel for the people who can't. Like they can't go to work, or they're not allowed to go to work, because it's got to be a scary time for all of that.
For sure. Yeah, it absolutely is. I can tell you. I mean, just as not to say that my work is done out of the house, but a lot of my friends are, and, you know, just see them with, you know, restaurant owners that, you know, they don't have a good firm grip on the pickup and delivery side of things. It's a dine-in kind of thing. So anyway, we all know that drill, but let's move on to the new and exciting now. So today's show, we're talking about a new product, you've got coming on out, and, I didn't really want to tease it too much, or really at all, because I like it when you know, take the whole thing from soup to nuts and tell the readers and the listeners, kind of what the new thing's all about. So take it on home.
Yep. Well, back in November at Grands, we did release a new product that we didn't get to do a podcast about because we were planning on trying to do this at Grands.
Right.
And I think that anybody who saw the new product release there could have understood like the path that I was heading down. So we released the Renan Adjustable Crank back in November, and that was pretty unique. And a lot of people heard all kinds of comments and criticisms about it across the board. It's been doing pretty well selling. I think we only have one left in stock at the moment, so I got a tool back up to get some more on the shelf. But that was a crank that offered a huge adjustable range from 90 millimeters to 160, and we specifically made that crank in 2.5 millimeter increments. And I think some people might have been looking at that and been like, you know, that seems kind of weird. Not a lot of cranks are offered in 2.5 millimeter increments. And that's because I planned on releasing a mini crank line. So the new product that we're coming out with today is a follow-up to the adjustable crank, which is called our Hive Mini Crank. And it's available from 90 millimeters up to 160 millimeters in 2.5 millimeter increments.
Oh, wow.
And going in the, you know, true factory dad fashion, my thing is to try to, you know, design something that's going to be extremely light and strong. And, you know, this is like the F1 parts of BMX. And, you know, we've definitely done that with this crank. We're currently, from what I can gather, the lightest setup on the market right now. And we achieved that through extensive machining on the backside of the crank. And the reason why we call it a Hive is that it has almost like a honeycomb pattern on the backside that allows us to scale it pretty nicely for, you know, programming and everything, and allows us to take a ton of weight out of the cranks and really get something kind of nice and slim. And we try to, you know, these cranks, when you look at them, they look a lot bigger than most mini cranks. And that was done on purpose to try to stiffen them up as much as possible. So I think people will be pretty pleasantly surprised, you know, when they get these in hand, to, you know, see how they are and stuff. So,
yeah, it's super cool. I mean, I really, that backside honeycomb design is really awesome looking. And so these cranks, like your others as well, have a 5-bolt chainring. Is that right?
These can be used with our race light gears, which is a direct mount. It has a square boss at the center. So that's kind of been like cycling doesn't have too many standards, but it seems like that kind of mounting pattern's been around for a while. So a lot of people are using that mounting pattern. So, you can use a spider with ours, or you could use a race light for direct mount. The lightest setup would be these cranks with a race light, but, sure. A lot of people do run these cranks with, or a lot of people will end up running these cranks with a 5-bolt spider. And that was one of the other products that we came out with in November was, it's called the Ultralight Spider. It's a, you know, much like the race light, very machined out. And, again, taking the lead on the lightest on the market. So
what's the deal with the, like, you know, just not knowing a lot about the technical side of things, it seems like the 4-bolt would be like the lighter way to go, but yet these are in 5-bolt. Is there a rhyme and reason to how the 5-bolt versus the 4-bolt?
Well, I think a lot of it's legacy, because back in the day, you know, they didn't have 4-bolt spiders or gears. And I'm talking like 80s. Everything was 5-bolt, 110 millimeter spacing. And that goes all the way back through the 80s. And, you know, big guys and little guys ran that sort of sizing. And then the change happened really when the DXR crank came out. And that went to a 4-bolt 104 pattern. at the time when we started designing 4-bolt and 5-bolt gears, you know, it was, you really couldn't find 5-bolt, or not a lot of people were running 5-bolt chain rings on, if you were an older guy on your race bike. So we took advantage of that. And when we designed a 5-bolt gear, we made it extremely thin, and our 5-bolt gears have a weight limit on them. So, you know, if you're going to try to build like a light setup, then you definitely want to go the route of the 5-bolt gear if you're going to run chain rings. If your kid is, you know, really young and light, you could definitely run the race lights, which is the absolute lightest. But there is a transition point where that stuff, and it's usually when they hit the teens, when they start going to like a 2-piece crank, and a lot of the 2-piece cranks are 4-bolt designs. So you'll end up switching them over to a 4-bolt chain ring. And that's just the way it's always that's just kind of the way it's been. It's also nice because it does provide this from a company perspective. You know, we can go ahead and design products that are specific towards like a little kid, because if there was only one standard out there, then the little kids would suffer on weight because we'd have to make everything strong enough for a big guy to run. Right. And if everything was 4-bolt, then everything would be heavy. Everything would be up at that level. And it's, you know, the path that we've taken with a lot of the stuff that we've been doing at Renan with the little guy stuff is to really, you know, take a lot of stuff was designed really for older riders and then propagated its way down. And now I at least have been specializing in making stuff specifically for those young riders, because they don't need to haul around a couple of extra pounds on their bike. So,
true. Yeah, for sure. So these particular, you know, like the Hive mini cranks, they have a weight limit. And, tell me about that.
Yeah. All of the product weight limit on it is 100 pounds, which is above the weight limit that we have for our bottom brackets. Our bottom brackets are weight limited to 80 pounds along with, the race light gears. But, in all the testing that we've done, it seems to be a pretty good, you know, range to use. These are only offered up to 160, and beyond 160, you know, kids start going to like a 2-piece crank design. So I'm less worried about somebody older riding these because they're just going to get off the square taper design altogether. Right. We have had, we have a couple of kids out there testing this, and they've been tested for the last probably about a month or so. And one of them is a little bit of a YouTube sensation, Logan Custer. So he's out of New Jersey. He's the little guy that had like 4 million views on YouTube, like jumping a curb onto his grandparents' lawn. Cool. But he races out of Egg Harbor, New Jersey. And I know his dad, Greg, and sent him a set down a few weeks ago. And Logan's a ripper. Like, he jumps all kinds of stuff. And he, you know, he's putting the cranks definitely through their paces, and there's been no issues. And then locally, we have another kid just local to me to get some just more feedback for the kind of kid that, you know, isn't a big jumper or anything like that. A kind of kid that in the small ranges is going to be running that. And his name's CJ Morris. He's been out testing them also for the last few weeks, although the weather out here is not that great in New England. But so far, everything's great, you know, no issues at all. And you know, these cranks have probably gone through my own personal, like, engineering analysis, like hundreds of scenarios of looking at stresses and strains. And I really worked a lot on optimizing that honeycomb pattern to try to not only give me something that was going to be manufacturable, but something that was going to be strong. So we played with web thicknesses and all kinds of stuff, and just ran simulation after simulation on this. And, you know, this is the end result that we have, which I'm pretty satisfied with. So
yeah, super cool. So the then 29 sizes total. Wow, that's a lot as far as just keeping all those, you know, those various sizes, you know, keeping track of them and keeping them in stock and whatnot. So, but that's what you got to do when you want to have the full array, I guess, right?
Yeah, and it's also, you know, especially difficult because I don't like this is not a, you know, this is what's coming in 6 month podcast. This is when you push the air button, you know, we're going to turn the website store on and it's available for sale. Full disclosure, I am working through some of these half sizes, you know, like the 102.5s and 107.5s and those sort of sizes. We're building up stock right now for that. But all of our sizes from 90 through 160 are in stock right now on the shelf, ready to go in black. Anybody who's going to want to get colors, we're not going to keep colors on the shelf. We're probably going to keep raw cranks on the shelf. And our anodizer is pretty flexible in letting us send a couple through at a time. So we'll end up doing that. But those will probably have like a little bit more of a delay, like maybe a week, week and a half, depending on where we are on the production cycles. But yeah, it's been a ton of work. Like, I've been itching to get this out, not only because of everything that's going on in the world, but also just because I need to, you know, at some point you gotta just, you know, rip off the Band-Aid and go. But, you know, these are 29 sizes that I've had to create CAD models for and drive side, non-drive side, you know, do the programming for them, do the engraving programs for them, like do all the stuff. And it's been a lot of stuff, but, you know, that's why we do what we do. So, sure. I'm super excited about like making stuff like this. So, yeah, it's, you know, really, I think it's really neat. I think hopefully other people will see it and like it too.
Definitely. So the other thing that I was just looking at the specs here, and, this is, you know, something that the listener may not know and yet may see on the page, which is the Q factor. Can you explain a little bit about that to the listener, just for who's not, maybe not totally up on that?
Yeah. So, Q factor is basically the distance. If you flipped your cranks over so that they both went the same direction and you measured from where your, pedal screws in on the outside of the crank to the other, side of the other crank. So that kind of spacing between the crank arms measured from the outsides of the crank arms. There's been a big, big, big push in the last few years to, that's called Q factor. There's been a big push to get parents to set up their kids' bikes with smaller and smaller Q factors. And I don't think a lot of people paid a whole lot of attention to it in years past, but, you know, there's a lot of, at least, I guess, anecdotal, you know, advice that if you bring them in nice and tight, it's better for your kid, especially if they're small. And it does make sense. You know, from my perspective, I run 175 millimeter cranks. Those really don't come in any kind of an adjustment. Kind of the crank you buy is the crank you get, and that's it. But I'm almost 6 foot tall, and my pedal spacing seems like normal. If I was only 36 inches tall, there's no way that the pedal spacing should be the same as what I'm currently riding. And this is something you got to think about when you have little kids, is that as they grow, you want to not only watch the crank length that they're on, but you also want to watch the Q factor that they have. And I would say when they're really, really young, try to get it as small as possible without like hitting the frame. And well, then as they grow,
so you start, how do you know?
So you start working your way out.
Yeah. How do you know that? So that's the big thing. It's like, just remember from when I built my son's bike up, you know, when he was a little guy, you know, the crank arm would just about, like, with any kind of, even a mud in the works, it would be a hit. It would be colliding. How do you make sure about that? Do you have different frames rated for, you know, like that you know about, or it's just a matter of they got to buy what they think is right and then they'll try it out?
Yeah, that's where you need to speak to someone who has done installs like this. Certainly we've had customers ask us like, hey, you know, I'm looking to get, cause we make a bottom bracket. Customers have said like, hey, I'm running these cranks at this size, this gear, you know, do you think I'm going to be able to run like a 105 millimeter bottom bracket? And then, you know, I've done enough of these to where I have a good handle on, what works and what doesn't. But again, like, I'm not doing installs on a daily basis, but there's a lot of people out there, you know, J&R Bikes, very experienced. There's another guy, Damon Sprague with Helium Racing. He specializes in this little kid setup. You know, you can call up these people and get an idea of what you should be running. But at the same time, that's why we developed our ultralight bottom bracket at the beginning. Well, not the beginning of the year, but at the end of summer in August, when we did the podcast, was we have this bottom bracket that if you do run into the situation like you had, where a speck of dirt is going to make the crank arm hit the frame, well, you have the ability now to adjust and move that around slightly with our bottom bracket design. And there's really only one other design on the market that allows for that. But ours has the biggest range and also gets you down to the smallest, because we are the only ones that make a 95 millimeter spindle width. There's a lot of different ways of working this problem, but some of it comes from trial and error, unfortunately. But right. I would definitely call, get advice. You know, if you can see a setup in person, that's great.
Not for a while, at least, I guess it's going to be, but this is the thing that's so cool is that, so the guy, you know, like the thing that's so awesome about this whole line of products, and this is part of the Helium line?
Helium is a different company. This is part of the Hydrogen line.
Hydrogen. I'll take that. Well, I knew it was
Hydrogen is the lightest element. So if we're going to make bike parts, we were going to go down the path of.
That's right. Absolutely. So, but the cool thing is that the dad can stay in the Renon ecosystem for the cranks, the bottom bracket, the chain ring, you know, all those things that are drivetrain related, and, you know, and it's just made to fit and work hand in glove, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, definitely for our stuff, like, I think that people don't put out this information about Q factor because a lot of people don't either. They don't make all these components, but that was one of the things that I wanted to offer. We took cranks and mounted them on spindles and measured, you know, the Q factor on them and kind of reporting that so people can get an idea of, all right, if I do this, this is how wide it's going to get, or they can measure their own right now and see how much smaller they could get it. And to measure their own, you know, there's a couple of different ways you could do it, but probably the easiest thing to do is just take probably the non-drive crank arm, pull it off, rotate it around so that it's in line with the other crank, tighten it down, and take a measurement from where the pedal screws into the other pedal where it screws in. And that is Q factor essentially. And you could see like where you stack up versus us.
So. Is that a BMX term or is that an overall cycling term?
Oh, you know, that's an overall cycling term.
Okay.
That's like all over the internet for, you know, road riders and things like that.
Okay.
But hasn't been spoken about too much in BMX, but I will say in the last few years, you know, I think it's kind of a, you know, result of seeing things like Strider and having kids as young as 2 years old, you know, pushing a bike and, you know, eventually they get to three and they can pedal a bike. And, you know, there's a lot of parts that are out there that aren't meant for a kid that size. And now in the last few years, we're starting to see a lot of that. And certainly with us, like, I like this kind of stuff. So, trying to get these bike builds way down, is really cool. You know, we ran the Factory Dad belt competition at Grands. And I want to say the guy who won got his kid's bike. I'd have to go back and look at the exact numbers. But I think it was like maybe somewhere between 8.5 pounds and 9 pounds, I believe. Wow. But, you know, it's like the things – for instance, like I tried doing this with my son's bike when I first built it when he was three, and I took a set of turn three cranks and I modified them. I put them on the mill and I hollowed them out and everything. And that's when I think Race was on 100 millimeter cranks, and the cranks that we have here at 100 millimeters are like 15 grams lighter already than me modifying an existing set. Yeah, and that was after modification. Like mine are lighter right now than after I modified that other set. Wow. And that bike was heavily, heavily modified. You know, it's kind of funny because I built that bike up for my daughter and we use it on like the bike path and everything. And from building these cranks and throwing them on that bike, I finally cracked 7 pounds. Like that bike is now, I think, 6 pounds, like 12 ounces. Oh. And it's just stupidly light, you know, so
that's awesome. Hey, so with the race light gears, are those like, what's the price difference between the race light and the, like a 5 bolt?
5 bolts run $50 and a race light runs 65.
Okay. All right. And so people buy multiples, like, you know, for gear change purposes. Yeah.
Not as many in the race light, I would say. I think that once you start getting to the, you know, I'm going to be the gear change dad type of thing. at that level, just for their own sanity, they tend to go to a 5 bolt because making those kind of gear changes with a race light, it takes a lot more time because you got to pull the crank arm off and then you got to remove the gear, throw a new gear on and then bolt it all back up together again.
Right.
And that's the advantage of having like a 5 bolt to where you could just undo 5 chainring bolts and pop it off and put it back on again.
And you have that myriad options with decimal gearing too, right? In the 5 bolt,
we have decimal gearing for everything. So we have race light gears that are decimal gearing.
You do?
And we make decimal gearings across the whole line. So, and we're actually got some requests recently to go smaller than our smallest size. I think right now our smallest size in race light is 32 tooth. But we're going to be making some 30s and I think 29s and 28 tooth gears in like the next week or so.
Wow.
So, because there's some people building some really small setups and they're just, you know, trying to build. I think their kid is so young that they need like a lower gearing than what they can get right now. So.
So a while back, there was
kind of things.
Yeah. A while back, there was some sort of discussion, like, you know, a deep discussion about, you know, the circles and larger chain rings. You know, I mean, what was the bottom line of that whole thing?
Oh, you mean like the California gearing stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the argument that's always going to exist.
Where do you come down on it? I mean, you're the guy that I trust about this kind of thing. So,
yeah. So I definitely think that there is an advantage to it if you are looking to improve drivetrain stiffness. So, because what happens is the bigger you go in diameter, the less force is required on the chain. So if there's less force on the chain, that's a force that's not going into twisting the bike and bending it and basically not propelling you forward. It's just, you know, it's twisting the bike around. So the bigger you go, the less twisting that happens, and it's a more direct, a more positive feel. It definitely makes the gear feel harder, which is interesting. I actually think that that's why a lot of these elites have switched over to that sort of gearing for Supercross, because back when we did GCOG testing down at the training center and everything, a flat ground sprint was 300% more power than the power required to go down the Supercross hill. So I think what was going on with these riders, if they had like a 4416 on and they go up to the top of the Supercross hill and they go to pedal, it just feels like nothing. It feels like they're pedaling like a circus bike or something. Like, it's just so easy to them.
Right.
So by them going to a bigger setup that might be equal gearing, it makes that gear feel harder, even though it's the same rollout. So it gives them the sensation that they're pushing a harder gear so that their body feels okay with it, but they're not actually pushing a harder gear. Mm. So that's why I think a lot of these guys have made that transition to that kind of gearing. But on the little kid stuff, I mean, these little kids aren't putting out any kind of power or anything. So that's why you can get away with making stuff super light. That's why, I mean, a race light gear, like a 38 tooth race light gear, only weighs 40 grams. So it's not a lot of material when you think about how much 40 grams is. And, but that, again, that's why we rate it for little kids. You know, there's no reason for them to be running a big solid chain wheel and big and heavy, you know, when you could work on, and you can really get their bike weight way, 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 way down. Like, I mean, I know a lot of people when they get like these stock bikes and everything, they're all floating in like the range of probably between like 13 and 15 pounds. But with just a little bit of work, a lot of guys get their stuff down to like 9. And, it is going to cost them a little bit of money to get it down to 9. But it is something that's easily achievable. For what I did to get my son's bike down that low in like the 7 range, it was like 6 months of work on the frame. And, I was like every single day, like doing something to modify that bike. So,
and by then, was he too big to ride it?
No. He rode that bike for a few. I started that when he was like on Strider, but okay. He rode that bike for like 3 years, I think, or 2 or 3 years. Yeah. And we just like changed the stem size and changed crank size and stuff like that. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So. Very cool. So back to the Hive cranks for a second. For the listener that wants to go ahead and pick some up, what's the price and where can they get it?
The price is $149.99. And the second they get off this, listen to this podcast, they're available on our website on RenanDesignGroup.com. I'm sure the other retailers that we have will pick them up, I would imagine. Really, you're in a small group of people that is even knows these exist right now. So, which is the way I like to do things. I don't like to, spread it out and get any kind of word and buzz going around.
Love it.
But anyone that any bike shops that are out there that are looking to get it from us, we do sell directly to bike shops. These will not have distributor pricing on them, unfortunately. There's just not enough margin in the product. But any online retailer can order from us, any bike shop can order from us, and any consumer can order from us too. So, and we're gonna, we plan on keeping these in stock and, moving forward with stuff. I did want to make sure that people understand that, like, we're not shut down. We're not, people are still ordering stuff. I think that BMXers, if anybody's ever going to survive the apocalypse, it's going to be a BMXer. So, that's right. And I think the true testament to this, we got an order last week that I kind of looked at and I laughed and I showed the guys in the shop and everything. And it was a customer who ordered some chain ring bolts and a gear, typical order, but it came from Hong Kong, China. Oh. So, and it was definitely a Chinese national ordering an American-made BMX racing gear and chainring bolts and having it sent to China. So if, you know, if people from China are ordering bike parts from the United States and for BMX racing, then BMX racing is definitely going to survive the any apocalypse that comes. So.
Yeah, for sure. So what's the over under on when we're going to be back to regular business, you know, going to nationals and talking about how there's too many nationals and all that stuff?
I don't know. Right now it seems like with everything going on, I mean, we're going to be locked down at least here in Massachusetts. They just issued to like May 4th, or the entire month of April that we're going to be locked down like this. I mean, God, I hope it doesn't go much further than that because, you know, there's a lot of people who are going to suffer from this economically. Sure. And, you know, my heart goes out to all of them. I mean, I listened to the Rich Pelton podcast the other day, and he said how, like, a lot of business for them is shut down, which it sucks. Like, it absolutely, there's no other words about it, but I do know a lot of people that I've talked to. One of my best friends growing up owns a bike shop in Rhode Island, and he said that he's been pretty much busier than ever. Wow. I know Sean DePreet spoke to Gus Lanzalotta the other day and said that Profile is really buzzing along, and they've been moving a lot of stuff. I spoke to Mike Von Sothen the other day of Von Sothen Racing. He said that he feels like they've been selling a lot of stuff, you know, during this time period. So, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, people are bored and they're, you know, they want to, you know, get these builds ready and they're not spending money going to nationals. And
right.
So they do have a little bit and, you know, which is great. You know, I think the bike industry, it's definitely not good, but everyone, for the most part that I've talked to, has been pleasantly surprised with how much stuff they've been selling during this time period. We're kind of in the same boat. We've done pretty well. The last few days has been slow, but you know, it's almost like the normal kind of sales volume that we see. It hasn't like, you know, we haven't like hit rock bottom and there hasn't been orders for weeks or anything. Like we still have shops ordering from us every day. We have, you know, our online customer orders every day. So, and so long as we can keep on getting material, you know, I mean, I am in self-isolation. I just go outside and
yeah, exactly.
Just fire up the machine. So, yeah, it was probably one of the better things I did was, put that shop on my property.
But. For sure. For sure. Well, hopefully, like you said, it'll be sooner than later that we'll be back to, you know, the regular pace of things. But beyond that, you know, just whatever's the safest. And hopefully then we get back to a local scene in the summer and we just, you know, put this behind us. That'd be really nice.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, this is like unprecedented, but
yeah.
And it's tough to say exactly. You know, obviously, I know the reasons why they're doing this stuff, but is a lot of it geared towards slowing down the virus so that the hospitals can handle the load and be able to handle it, so there's not just people like sick in the streets, or you know, it almost seems like there's some of that happening. It's funny, I watched the governor of New York, Cuomo. There, he was talking about how there's like a ventilator shortage in New York, but they have them stocked in a storage facility in New Jersey right now. And his reasoning behind it was that we're preparing for the absolute peak of demand. And right now we're not there, but people in, you know, hospitals in New York are talking about how they need this stuff. And so they're sitting in like a storage container versus like being used. But, you know, people with pay grades higher than mine are the ones that are planning these things out. So, yeah.
Maybe we should get you in there, you know?
Yeah,
I would be a lot more comfortable with George Costa in there than some of those other guys, with all respect to the governor in New York. But anyway, well, listen, the Hive Mini Cranks, congratulations on another fine execution here. Very fine. Lots of amazing potential. Meanwhile, as we shut it down, any final words, any final points to make?
I just appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. I did want to come on not only to, you know, promote the product, but also to tell people that, you know, life hasn't stopped for a lot of us out there, and we're, you know, trying to move forward. And I think if people can find like some kind of comfort in BMX and, you know, building their bike up and going to the pump track or riding a track when no one's around, or at least staying 6 feet away from other people, then, you know, if that makes you have some sanity through this time, then I'd say, you know, get out there and do it. So
definitely. Well, that we hope we'll have, you know, have you back on again, George, once this is all over with, and you can tell us about how, you know, things are emerging back from the self-quarantine to coming back out. For George Costa, I'm Mike Carruth. We thank you for joining us today. We hope you'll join us again on the next episode of Announcer's Tower.